I don't know about you guys, but anybody here speak Christianese? Right? I'm talking about the phrases that you only hear among Christians, and I get a kick out of every time. If the Lord tarries, where have you ever heard the word tarry used outside of if the Lord tarries, right? And there's all kinds of phrases like that that we think we know what they mean, but maybe we don't. So I thought today we would study what it means to be the body of Christ. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter in that. But we are going to do some highlighting in that. Now, the phrase body of Christ, it appears in a number of different passages. One that we will read briefly is from Ephesians 4, right, verses 11 through 16. In that. In fact, actually, why don't you turn there so you can look at it with me. Ephesians 4. Then we're gonna bounce back to 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, stick a finger in 1 Corinthians and look up Ephesians 4. Everybody with me? I'm not supposed to hear no's. What is this? You guys are supposed to be on my side. Come on, two places. They're within a couple chapters of each other. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, anybody need a Bible, not have one? What chapter? Ephesians 4. Goodness, it's on the screen even. Come on, guys. Okay. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now we can go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Our anchor verse for the day is going to be verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. When I study, I also use a literal translation, and I love the way that it was written in the literal translation. And you are Christ's body, and members in part. You are Christ's body and members in part. Right? Now, anytime you study a verse, you want to look at it in context. Right? We're going to learn a little hermeneutics today. And don't let the word hermeneutics scare you. It just means Bible study. It's the way you study. We'll begin by understanding the message of 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, I'm going to go back. Well, no, we'll start here. Yeah, that's all right. There's one in every audience. Okay. First, who is Paul writing to? Anytime we look at a verse, we should know who it's been written to, right? Well, to find that out, we go all the way back to the beginning of Corinthians. In chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Okay, so Paul's saying if you call Jesus your Savior, 1 Corinthians, this entire book, is written to you. It's a letter specifically to you, as if it showed up in your U.S. mail yesterday. And yesterday wasn't a holiday, was it? Okay. Okay, now, the context. If we go back one chapter to chapter 11, let me read a portion of it for you. All right. This is, if you look at beginning with verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. So when he gets to chapter 12, he's looking in terms of a church. He's saying, "This is you guys are doing some stuff that's wrong." Right? Now, the first 11 verses of chapter 12, he talks about spiritual gifts, right? Gifts, various gifts from the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, we know from that passage that each one of us gets different gifts. Not one of us gets all of the gifts, that we each get different gifts. But together, we have all the gifts needed to minister the way Jesus did. Right, in verse 27, again, we, all of us are Christ's body, and each is a part of it. Right now, I want to back up a second here. Okay, yeah, here we go. Now, verses 12 to 26 of chapter 12, right, it points out that the body is made up of a variety of parts that are all necessary. Right, and you think of your human body, right? It's good that you have an elbow. It's good that you have an eye. It's good that you have toes. It's good that you have all of the parts of your body. There's a reason God put them there. Well, the same thing is true of the body of Christ. He put all the different parts into the body of Christ so that it would be a complete and full body. All of the parts are necessary. So now let's look specifically at the verse, right? First, all of you, right? That means that there's no exceptions. If you're here this morning and you call Christ your Savior, and that you can't exclude yourself. I'm sorry. You have to pay attention to this message whether you like me or not. That's not your choice. Right? And it also says each one is a part. Not all the parts, but a part. Right? That means that each one of us, we are not the whole body. But together we are the whole body. Okay, so now what does it mean to be the body of Christ? Well, let's look at the phrase in the original languages. Right, body in Greek can be translated as a sound whole body, or I found this interesting, slave. Now, Christ, as we all know, means Messiah, or one who is anointed. So when it says that we are the body of Christ, in a way it's saying that we are slaves that have been anointed. Right, now, what does a slave do? A slave waits for his master's instruction and then does what his master tells him to do. Now, I know it's tempting today to say, okay, well, easy believism, if you will. You know, become a Christian and you're going to go to heaven. Christ is your Savior. And that's absolutely true, but it's only half the message. The other half of the message is that the Lord, that God is your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. That means he's your master. That means that we are his slaves. Now, what does it mean to be anointed? And I found this interesting too. Now, for this I went back to the Hebrew, right? It means to consecrate. We're used to that, but it's also mentions sometimes it's used to paint. Right? Now, if I find that interesting, right? But you think about it, right? If we wanted to change colors in this room, we could take a tub of, a pail of blue paint and a roller, and we would change the color and the atmosphere in this room. So when we're anointed, right, when we're doing the work of the Lord, we're consecrated to do the work of the Lord, and it's like he's painted us a different color, right? We're not the person we were when we started. Think about that. That's amazing to me. Now, before we get too deeply into it, I want to make this very, very, very clear, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand this, right? The earthly body of Christ cannot save anyone. We cannot. But we can lead non-believers to someone who can save them. Okay, so our job as a body is not to save them, it's to bring them to someone. Right? It's quite clear in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now, why are believers called the body of Christ? Well, I think it's because Jesus wanted to leave a physical representation of himself here on earth. Right? God leaves a spiritual representation of himself in believers in the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, traveling with you day by day, hour by hour, 24/7, 365, the way we say today. Right? And that, but I think Jesus wanted to leave a physical representation, especially for non-believers, that they would be able to see, they would be able to see Christ's hands and feet in action. Sometimes it's said, you know, we're the hands and feet of Christ. It's true. Right? We are that representation. 2 Corinthians tells us, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Right? What does an ambassador do? Ambassador acts for the nation that he represents. Right? We act for Jesus. As though God were making appeal through us. Right, think of that. God's making an appeal through you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the message. That's the appeal, that people would be reconciled to God. Now, why is the body of Christ so varied? Yeah. Well, there are a variety of gifts to support a variety of ministries. Different ministries need different skills, different gifts, because they have different purposes. And that evangelism is one ministry. Service is a different ministry. Compassion is a different ministry. And that different ministries require different gifts. Right? In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 through 20, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, I look at it and that, you know, the variety of gifts that God has placed in this room with this body of believers in that, you know, allows us together to represent Jesus, right? Jesus is very big. No one of us can represent him. But together, a lot of small home fellowship church can represent Jesus. Now, how do I know which part of the body of Christ I am? Right? That's an important question. Right? Now, it strikes me that an eye shouldn't try to hear, wouldn't work very well, and an ear shouldn't try to see. And I've seen that in churches where one person, they want a specific gift. They want a specific gift, but it's not the one the Lord's given them. They're an eye and they're trying to be an ear. Or they're an ear and they're trying to be an eye. So how do I know which gift God gave me? Well, John 14:26 tells us, The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you what gift he needs you to use at what given time. Now, the interesting thing about gifts, there's two kinds of gifts, and that's actually not correct. There's one kind of gifts, but sometimes a gift is given for a lifetime. Person is, he's an evangelist, and he was born that way, and he will die that way. But there are some gifts that are given for a season. They're given for a short period of time, perhaps only for an hour or two, for a specific situation. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what gift he needs you to use, wants you to use, at a given time. So that means that we need to be in constant communication with the Lord. Our scripture tells us to pray continually. Well, that doesn't mean eyes closed, head bound, driving down I-75. I think I saw that the other day, but we won't go. We don't want to go there. But what it does mean is that I need to have ears to hear the Lord. I need to be attuned. I need to have my brain radio station tuned to him so that when he speaks, that it's like, oh, okay, Lord, yeah, I hear you. I hear you, and I'm ready to be obedient. He'll tell you what part to play. Okay, now, here's the tough part. All right. And it's probably going to convict some folks here, and so be it. What makes the body of Christ weak? Well, one thing is jealousy. Right? Last week, Don talked about little toes, right? And picture in my mind, right? Can you picture a couple of little toes talking to each other and going, well, that big toe, he thinks he's such hot stuff because he's bigger than us. I hope he gets a hangnail, right? Now, wouldn't that be pretty stupid? And you know, it's interesting. Out of curiosity, I Googled the purpose of toes, right? And one of the main purposes of toes, yeah, I know. You find anything on the internet. The purpose of toes, in part, is to keep us balanced when we walk. Right? The point, though, is that it's stupid for one part of the body to want another part of the body to hurt. Why should we be jealous of each other? Now, I know that would never happen here in Home Fellowship Church. I know we're all good Christians. You know, that would never happen here. But it does happen in other places. And that 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? That we're warned against jealousy, right? And what is jealousy? Jealousy is saying, you have something that I want. I don't have it and I want it. Right? Well, what makes the body of Christ strong? Luke 9:23 tells us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Right? I put my flesh to death. Jealousy is exalting my flesh. Luke 9 tells us we're to put our flesh to death. Right? That's how I take on my part as the body of Christ. I do what he tells me to do, not necessarily what I want to do. What makes the body of Christ weak? Part 2. Unfortunately, there's more than two. Just warning. Not all parts are working as they were designed, right? You think about it, right? And that there's time when I'm carrying groceries or something in the house, and I'm trying to push the door handle down with my elbow, right? Anybody done? Come on, you guys have done the same thing too, right? It doesn't work real well. The handle is better with a hand. And well, the body of Christ can do the same thing, right? And he knows that our plans are futile, right? We need to remember there are good things that we see, right? I can come up with an idea in my mind and say, whoa, wouldn't this serve Jesus well if I did this? But maybe that's not what he wants me to do. Maybe that's what he wants Trish to do. All right? Maybe he wants someone else to do it. Maybe he wants me to do something different than what I have on my mind. Right? It's not my job to figure out what the Lord designed me to do. He will reveal it to me as needed. So what makes the body of Christ strong? Well, Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This verse has astounded me for years. Okay? I picture I'm on God's workbench, haven't been conceived yet, and yet he knows what works he's planned for me to do, and he's put in the gifts, the skills, what I'm going to need years and years in the future, and that, to me, that's just mind-blowing. And for me to question whether I want to do what he wants, what he designed me to do, what he created me to do, how dumb can I be and still be breathing? Okay, what makes Christ, what makes the body of Christ weak? Part three. When the parts of the body expect to be served. Yeah, I hear some chuckles in the audience. Okay. All right. Romans 2:8. "But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." We can't concentrate on ourselves and what the Lord would have us do at the same time. They're contradictory thoughts. We cannot do it. I think about, it's, let's see, how do I want to put this? I want to be careful in that. I understand we have busy lives, right? And, you know, sometimes we run from task to task to task and that. And Sunday morning, it's like, oh, I just want to come to church, sit down and be blessed. Let the pastor bless me. Have somebody pray for me. I just want to come and be blessed. I get it. But that's less likely to happen if you spend time with the Lord during the week. Spend time with him in prayer on a daily basis. Spend time in the Word on a daily basis. You know, you've heard me talk about Pastor Gail Irwin, right? And one thing that he said that I think is true, wouldn't it be neat if everybody came to church on Sunday morning and when they hit the parking lot, they asked the Lord, "Lord, would you show me who I can minister to today, who I can bless today?" Wouldn't that change the temperature of the room? Okay, what makes the body of Christ strong? Well, maybe I think I just described it, right? All right. Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be last, the servant of all." Right? Jesus came as a servant. He came to serve others. All right, and just as Jesus was other-centered, so we should be other-centered. In fact, I'll tell you a secret I learned years ago. You want to have a crummy day tomorrow? And nobody raises their hand for that. Okay. Didn't expect you would. If you want to have a crummy day tomorrow, wake up and your first thought should be just about you. And the whole day, just think about what you want, what you deserve, what other people should be doing for you. I can guarantee you will have a crummy day. Because you won't get everything you want. On the other hand, if you start looking for ways to serve others, you will be blessed. Okay, what makes the body of Christ weak? Part four. There's contention, strife between parts of the body of Christ. Come on, strife and contention in God's church? That couldn't possibly happen, could it? Well, yeah, it could. Right? James 3 tells us, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." The truth is, you know, we bring some bad things with us to church. Yeah. We do. It's just unfortunately true. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's addressing the church in Corinth. And this wasn't a bad church. But he's saying that there's envy and there's strife among you, right? Now, envy and strife in the body, to me, it's like an autoimmune disease, where the body is fighting itself. And does that make any sense? I don't understand autoimmune disease. I get that it exists and that doctors don't know what to do with it. I don't mean to belittle that, but the body would hurt itself. Just seems like it should not be. It just should not be. That's my point in that. And I think it's definitely true for the body of Christ that there should not be envy and strife within us. Well, what makes the body of Christ strong? Whoops, skipped a slide. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and goodwill, good fruit, impartial and sincere. God's wisdom brings peace. There's times that I'm going to bug you. Sooner or later, I will do something that causes you to go, gee, I wish he hadn't have done that. Hopefully it's nothing that I intended to do. And when that comes up, ask the Lord how to reconcile. And go to the Lord. He'll give you the answer, how to come back together so that there is no envy, there's no jealousy, there's no strife in the body. Okay, what makes the body of Christ weak? Part 5. I told you there were not. We celebrate a part of the body instead of the whole body. Now, actually, I chose a wrong word here. Celebrate isn't the word I should have used. I should use the word worship, a part of the body, instead of the whole body. Right? Nothing wrong with celebrating victories in the body, right? And that includes pastors. Like the Lord tells me not to use that, I won't. Right, Romans 12:3 tells us, by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Right? It's fascinating to me, uncontrolled cell growth is called cancer. Right, that's what cancer is in our body, is when a certain cell just grows wild and reproduces and takes over. And that's cancer. And that can be a cancer in the body of Christ as well. If somebody becomes an object of worship in the church, and that's true of the pastor. And Pastor Darren, he tells you frequently, you don't worship him. We worship Jesus in this church. And that's as it should be. All right, how do we make the body of Christ strong? Oops, we don't skip the slide, that's what we do. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than... Oh, I just did that. Okay, I went back too far. Okay. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's perfectly good that we celebrate when there's victory in that. When someone is serving the Lord, it's we should celebrate. Laura, when the Crisis Pregnancy Center brings a girl to the Lord and saves a baby, we should celebrate that. We don't worship Laura or the Crisis Pregnancy Center, but we should celebrate that. We should not be envious that when one ministry is successful, it's part of the body. You don't envy it. You don't hold strife against it. No jealousy. And that we should all worship Christ, only Christ, and not elevate ourselves. Okay. Now, what work should the body of Christ be doing? Right? Okay. We're a body of Christ now. We know that. All of us. No one excepted. No one is all of the body. But we are all together, we make up the body. So what should the body of Christ be doing? Should we just be laying around on the beach? Well, maybe not. Right? The body of Christ should be doing the will of the Lord. Right? If you go to the Lord's Prayer, it tells us, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So what did Christ say? Right? He says the kingdom of God is at hand. Right? It is at hand. Jesus brought the kingdom, let people know that God's kingdom was at hand. That's what we should be doing. Right? You can look to the Great Commission. Right? You know, we're told to go make disciples of all nations. Right? That's what he would expect the body of Christ to do. Go make disciples of all nations. Matthew 10. As you go proclaim, this passage here is what Jesus told the disciples before he sent them out without him. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received and freely give. We are to do what Jesus did in that. Now, I know for a fact that every time I've prayed for somebody to be healed physically, they have not all been healed. But I can tell you unequivocally that the times that the Lord gave me a specific prayer, told me to pray specifically, and that amazing things happened, things that I cannot explain, that no doctor can explain. And that's true for all of us here. If we're listening to the Lord and the Lord tells us to pray for somebody or take a certain step, it may seem strange and maybe something that you look and you go, boy, I'm going to look stupid here if this doesn't happen. So be it. In that, if we put our flesh down, we crucify our flesh, we don't mind looking stupid.
I just wanted to say that it's not always about a physical healing, that when God sends you to pray for someone for sickness, that he's using you to send a message that they could be spiritually healed.
Yeah, that's true. We because we live in these bodies, we marinate in the physical 24/7, right? I mean, we can't help but think about these bodies. What do I wear? Am I warm enough, cool enough? Do I have enough to eat in that? And so our prayers often, somebody is sick. Well, we want them to be well. And that's understandable. We should want them to be well in that. But there's times that being well means going home to be with the Lord in that. That's getting well in that. And that's why their eternal salvation is an important thing for us to be thinking about. That we need to consider that when we pray for folks. Now, also, what should the body of Christ be doing? Paul tells us in the next chapter of Corinthians. All right. I think this is important. All right. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now, I believe that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will guide each and every one of us to do the part of the work of the body that he would have us to do. But I think that we are all, as part of the body, to share his love with all around us. Not only those in the body, but those outside the body. When you're in Wawa, or Walmart, or the DMV, which might be a little bit hard. But we need to share his love wherever we are. I think of the parable of the talents, right? And we won't go to that whole chapter, but let me just kind of summarize, right? Now, the parable of the talents, right? Jesus tells the story of a master who is going to leave, and he gives his servant, he gives one servant 10 talents, one 5, and one talent, and one servant 1 talent. He goes for a while, and he tells the servants to take the talents and use them to produce more talents. In other words, invest what I've given you. He comes back, right, and he talks to the servant who had the 10 talents. And the servant says, well, I took your 10 talents, Lord, and I made 10 talents with them. That's what I did. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Went to the servant that had 5 talents, asked him, well, what did you do with the talents? Well, I took your talents, Lord, and I made 5 talents. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Went to the servant that had 1 talent. What did you do with the 1 talent? Well, I knew you were a harsh master, so I buried it. Here's your 1 talent back, Lord. I didn't lose it. Well, the master cursed him. It's fascinating that just a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to an audio book called Imagine Heaven, and about near-death experiences. And a number of the people with these near-death experiences, and I don't know what you think about them, some are off the charts, and they don't comport with Scripture, but a lot of them do match what you see in Scripture. And a number of them said that the question that they were asked was, what did you do with the life that I gave you? Which to me sounds a lot like, were you the part of the body of Christ that I made you to be? Right. It was fascinating. Thursday, I was in my car early in the afternoon. I don't often, that's when I get to listen to radio. I don't often have the radio on that time of day. And they were talking about a certain type of ministry, trying to help people who are less fortunate financially. And he said, you know, that we need to not only look at them as needing material things, but that they all were given a task to do by the Lord, right? And we need to look at them as somebody who God wants to use, and that as well as somebody who may need groceries. And he used a phrase I thought was just fascinating. He says, full employment. It's full employment in the body of Christ, right? And that should be true, right? I don't think any one of us who call Jesus Lord should leave today, and that without asking ourselves, being aware of what the Lord wants us to do as part of the body of Christ, representing Jesus here on earth physically. And that. So let's close, and we're closing early. Yes, you can. Then I'll close.
We all have a part. We can reach different people through our experiences, through our testimonies, and what we've gone through. We have the ability to reach different people. We cannot forsake our own talent that we've been given or desire somebody else's, because that doesn't give us the ability. Somebody else's testimony does not give us the ability to witness based on our own experience. Our own experience through who God is in our life and how he's reached us. That's when we have the empathy. That's when we have the words. That's when we're used the most by the Lord. And not all of us can reach the same people. And so we have to embrace who God has made us, what trials we've gone through, and how he's been there for us through those trials or used us.
And actually, thank you for bringing that up, Natalie, because one thing that occurs to me, a couple things that occur to me. One, God won't call you to do something that he's not giving you the ability to do. Okay, so if he tells you to talk to somebody, he will give you the words to say, right? The second thing is that a lot of times the Lord will use the things in our life. Right? Life is hard, right? We go through all kinds of sad things in this world. We go through all kinds of pain. And the Lord can use those things if we let him. In that there will be a time when we can minister to somebody who's in a similar situation by sharing with them how the Lord got us through that hard time. And it's amazing. If we don't show fear, right, when things go bad, if we live for Christ in those times, if we are acting as the body of Christ, people will notice. They'll go, well, you know, gee, you just lost your job. How come you're not panicked? What is it that you have? And that gives us that opportunity. And that, so I think, again, the question is, you know, what are we doing with the gifts that the Lord's given us? Are we acting as the body of Christ? So why don't you all stand and join me in prayer. Father God, Lord, we begin by thanking you for our Savior, Lord, that you've called us to yourself, that you allow us to call Jesus our Savior, but also our Lord. I ask that you would help us to be faithful servants, Lord, that we would be tuned to you, Lord, so that we would do the things that you would have us to do, to be part of the body of Christ, that you would keep us from strife, jealousy, contention, hero worship, the things that would divide the body and keep us from being effective, Lord. And we thank you what you will do with the body of Christ, not only here at Home Fellowship Church, but throughout the globe, Lord. And that because we're part of an even bigger body. We thank you for what you do with all of us, Lord. But we especially thank you for our Savior, your Son, in whose name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful week. And we will see you sometime during the week or next Sunday.